Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
92.9 FM, ESPN.
I'm wondering if your love's still strong. Ooh, baby, your hand's still delivered. I'm yours. Then that time I went and said goodbye. Now I'm back and not ashamed to cry. Ooh, baby.
Drew Hill covers the Memphis Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. He's a fill-in host here on the station, usually during the summer. And he joins us every Thursday. He's here now. Hello, Drew. How are we feeling, buddy?
I'm great, man. How about yourself?
Roll, Tide, roll. I mean, you guys really, are you happy that they're having travel or that they had travel issues? Or are you upset that they're having travel issues and they will now find a way to spin this into motivation?
Does not matter to me. Honestly, you know, it was funny because I remember we came on here and I said wrongly that I thought North Carolina would blow them out, right? And then Jeff, I was listening to Jeff's show in the morning, and Jeff was like, see, that's just a defense mechanism. He doesn't want to be set up for a disappointment. But, like, seriously, though, the math, like, all of it, the defense, like, that is a matchup where Alabama kind of needed a perfect storm to win. And they've kind of just gotten that the whole tournament, and it's amazing. Like, I never thought that they would be in this spot. And I just remember when I was in school there, like, Avery Johnson used to come by the dorms. True story. Like, Avery Johnson used to come deliver pizza at, like, academic buildings and, like, fraternity and sorority houses and beg people to come to basketball games. And when I went on my tour there for the first time, when I was considering going to school there, you know, they put you on, like, a shuttle bus and they drive you around the campus. And the first thing they do is drive you right down the main boulevard of the university, right up to Bryant-Denny Stadium, and they show it off like this big shiny thing, and then they drive you around, and then, you know, I remember being on the bus, and they were like, oh, yeah, and the basketball arena's back there, you know, somewhere. Like, it was just like such an afterthought, such a second fiddle at that point, like, to see what it's become now. It's all gravy at this point, man. Like, if they lose by 25 points, yeah, house I don't money, care. No. Doesn't matter. I mean, it was house money when they made the Elite Eight. Now it's just, it's amazing. I mean, it's amazing what they've done with the program. And it's funny, like, you know, I'm obviously getting married next weekend, which will be, I'm really looking forward to it. And I remember during this wedding planning process that my fiance, we knew we were getting married in the fall because of Alabama football. There will certainly be a lot of Alabama grads at my wedding. So we knew that was off the table. Summer was too hot. She didn't want to do summer. So we landed on the spring. We said, all right, we're going to get married right before potentially the NBA playoffs so that that'll be done. That won't interfere. But we're going to do it in the spring. And so the dates we were looking at were the 6th and the 13th. And she wanted to do the 6th initially. And when I figured out that was going to be during the Final Four, I said, absolutely not. I don't think I'm going to be able to keep some of my friends off of their phones during the Final Four. And, oh, my God, I mean, had I known Alabama was going to be in the Final Four, we have completely avoided disaster on that front, because no one would give a single crap about us getting married if Alabama was in the Final Four. So it's just funny how it works out. But it's awesome, man. I'm looking forward to watching it. I don't care what the result is. It as you said, Jason, it's house money at this point.
It totally is. And I will say one of the things that I've really enjoyed and found some hilarity in is like the trash talk between UConn basketball fans and Alabama basketball fans. Like you have like Mr. Hotballs there on UConn Twitter, and you could just tell like. We can call basketball's a new thing for Alabama fans, you know? Like it's not like they've been prepared for Final Four stages in this moment. And it's almost like Alabama fans are flustering UConn fans with like their lack of experience in this moment. And so it has been a little bit of a sideshow. I don't know if you've seen any of this exchange, but, you know, look, Alabama fans aren't as brushed up on their history, you know, and that's to be expected. That's to be expected. We're not talking about SEC football, but it's clearly flustering UConn a little bit. And so I think it's like the game within the game is pretty damn hilarious, Alabama and UConn.
I will also say you've got to give Alabama fans a little bit of credit. Like they do have like the basketball base. It may not be that big for Alabama, but it's pretty strong. You got to give them a little credit too. They're leaning into it. Like you can tell that they're leaning into it, that they know it's like, oh man, I really hope Alabama wins this game. And then UConn fans are just livid. They're just so mad. They're like, no, we're blowing it. This isn't even going to be close. You know, whatever. And they're like, hey, figure out ball. You know, you don't know ball. You know, we know ball down in Tuscaloosa, and they hate it. I mean, I'm seeing it. It's just so funny. Like you can totally play it up and be like, dude, like we've been a basketball school all along. I don't know what you guys are talking about. And UConn fans are so on edge and so like
they are
mad at the world that it doesn't take much.
I mean, it would be the inverted, right? It would be like if UConn football was playing Alabama in the playoff. You know, it would. Yeah. I mean, yeah. It would be the exact opposite. You know, so it's like I don't know. I've enjoyed like the exchanges, and I just hope that it's a competitive game, man. So congrats. It's a good feeling. That's one that you can't take away. Even if they vacate it down the line, they still can't take it away, Drew.
I don't know what rules there are to break. You know, there's no rules, so screw it, you know.
Drew, Grizzlies get the win last night, 111-101. You wrote about it over at DailyMemphian.com. How about calling 13? Jaren Jackson, I will say this. Here's me holding up my hand. When he got to 65 games, I said, okay there, young blood, we can reel it on in now. We can, you know, and to Jaren's credit, doesn't look like he's thinking about that last night, that 35-point effort where he's baking Brook Lopez at the end of the game.
I mean, it was one of his best performances of the season.
Yeah.
I know he's had more points than that, but like it was the manner in which he did it that was so impressive. He did it with power. He did it with finesse. He did it on both ends of the court. I mean, all of that. I mean, he hit the dagger three late in the game. I loved the ode to Ja with the call 13 celebration there at the end. Like that was really fun. And again, it's just nice to have fun moments in a season that's been pretty crappy overall. And to your point on like just pack it up. I actually wrote about this morning. I don't think that it's out yet. I think it should be out any minute now. It's just interesting to me, and I'm curious how you guys sort of view it, because if you're a Memphis fan, you're kind of hoping history repeats itself, right? Because back in 2019, the Grizzlies, obviously they had dealt Marc Gasol. He was gone off the team. Everybody thought Mike Conley was going to get traded. He wasn't traded. They won 7 games in March and didn't really lean into the tank. And then they were rewarded when Ja Morant fell into their lap, the number 2 pick. And you know what? The Pelicans didn't tank either that season. They ended up winning the Zion Williamson sweepstakes. Now this year, when you look at what's happening, you know, Toronto, I mean, my God. I'm not trying to be insensitive here, because RJ Barrett's brother died, and obviously that had a role on him not playing in like 8 straight games, and I understand that's very sad. But then he comes back and like he's already doing injury maintenance the second game after having a month off of not playing basketball. You know, Emmanuel Quickley has missed 6 games for a family matter. Scotty Barnes isn't playing. Jakob Poeltl isn't playing. Like, they have 100% leaned into this tank thing.
Keep the pick.
Way more than the Grizzlies have.
Yeah.
You know, they've lost 15 games in a row, and the only two games that were remotely competitive were games against Washington and Portland. And so, like, what the Raptors have done is, like, borderline shameful, in my opinion. But they've leaned into it way more than the Grizzlies have. And this, the impact of this is, like, you know, 5%, right? You'll have a 5% better chance of moving up into that top four than the Grizzlies will be because you decided to bomb your season in the way that you have. Because I don't think the Grizzlies are catching them at this point.
Right.
Are you okay with this? Like, are you okay with the Grizzlies being fine with still winning these games, still saying, hey, we're going to get a good draft pick? Or do you want the karma on your side? Because clearly the Grizzlies are going for the karma play, and it worked out for them once. Isn't going to work out for them again.
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime you just got to get Trey Jamison and Jordan Goodwin and, you know, Gigi Jackson, these meaningful fourth quarter moments, you know, for their for all of their huge roles that they will play in the NBA Finals. You know, that's what they tell me. I think I had to say that. I mean, look,
I don't blame Toronto though, Drew, because it's top six protected. So they've decided, right? We want to try to keep the pick, and we're going to do everything
right possible.
Now, where I agree with you is that, you know, that year I think the Grizzlies jumped up. They get two. They were what, in the eight spot, seven, the eight spot, somewhere around that. And I think if it had dropped back, you can go remind me. They were going to have to convey it. And so they were, unlike Toronto, it didn't seem like they were trying to lose every single one of them so they wouldn't have to convey. But, you know, Toronto's trying to keep the pick. And then for the Grizzlies, no, man. I mean, at this point, you got the cushion. It doesn't look like you're going to drop back to eight. So if you win a couple, you can't blame them. And you're right. If karma's on your side because of that, hell, that's a good thing.
Hey, maybe this is the sweet spot, you know? Like,
exactly.
Golden State had their gap year where a bunch of their players were hurt in 2020. And you know what they did? They packed it up right away. They were 15-50 that year. Just total misery.
I'd forgotten, like, how bad that was.
By far the worst. I mean, they just said, screw this. Like, we're done. Like, right away. And that was, like, tanking in its purest form that season for Golden State. And they ended up still with the number two pick. You know, they drafted James Wiseman. Didn't work out.
Still won a title.
You know, still won a title afterwards. Yep. Like, that's the hope for the Grizzlies, is right? Like, all right, we're still going to be a contender, competitive team next year, no matter where this draft pick lands and no matter what we do, because of who we already have. But the truth is that the Grizzlies need a player more than the Warriors needed a player back in 2020 to put them over the top.
Agreed.
And so maybe this is a sweet spot. You know, you're definitely not actively out there trying to win every game because you'd be playing more players than the Grizzlies are. But you're also not actively bombing your season.
That's right.
In the manner that Toronto or Golden State did. You're going to have some good karma on your side. Now make the right pick, Zach Kleiman. You know, make the right pick, and you're in good shape.
We are, of course, talking to Drew Hill, covers the Memphis Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. All right, so there was some news yesterday. Ja Morant is dropping his agent. He's parting ways with his agent, Jim Tanner, who he's been with since he was a rookie, of Tandem Sports and Entertainment. What is the significance of that, in your opinion?
I don't think there's much significance to that, to be honest with you. Obviously,
and tell us where he's going.
Yeah, I'm not gonna tell you where he's going. not going to do that. I don't expect that it's going to happen right away.
Okay.
I would guess that there's going to be a little bit of a break here. I think they're actually, I don't know if there's league rules on this, but I think there may be where you can't sign right away with a new agent when you drop your agent. Anyway, I think that this is something that I guess had been in the air for about a year now. Like, stuff that you hear could be a possibility. Ja is on, let's put it this way, because I know everybody reacted by saying, like, he's a Laker, whatever. You see all the Lakers fans jump onto Twitter and act like that. He's on the first year of a five-year deal with the Memphis Grizzlies, a max contract with team control at the end of it. I do not suspect whatsoever that this is the type of move in which he's making it because he's wanting a change of scenery or anything like that. Like, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense with the deal he signed. It doesn't make sense, you know, with the current situation that he's in. Like, none of that really makes a ton of sense when you just look at the big picture here. Is this a move in which he wants an agent that may be a little bit more in the forefront in terms of deals and public perception and all things like that? Perhaps. I mean, you know, clearly there's a reason he wanted to move on from his agency, and they made that split. And I hope he's able to find whatever he needs in whatever agent he may have next. Who knows? Maybe could be one of the big names. Could be a big name Memphis. Could be a big name elsewhere. I mean, I would probably guess that it will be one of the more famous agents out there, than just because Ja is that level of player.
Right. Well, look, I think the people are not quite on the scent, but maybe eventually they'll get hip to it. I will ask, like, when Ja was going through what he and kind of still is going through what he's going through, you know, isn't the role of the agent, you know, it takes on a new form, doesn't it? I mean, it's not just, hey, I'm going to negotiate, you know, your contracts now. Now it's like, you need somebody who can sort of, you know, counsel you and guide you and take you through. And I think maybe that could be at sort of the heart of this, is maybe that Jim Tanner's not a, you know, he hasn't been through the things that Ja has been through, right? And you want to be around people that have. And I think that's where, you know, an agent's job is pretty easy when you're just negotiating contracts for Ja Morant, dude. Jason, you and me could all get in a room with the Grizzlies and do that. You know,
I was gonna say, boy, I wish I could negotiate Ja's contract. You walk in there and say, all right, so we're doing the max deal, right?
That's right, exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
But it's good. Let's get it written down.
It's a little, the equation's a little different now, though, right? I mean, so you would think that, you know, and I think that my sense is that's kind of what Ja is looking for here, is somebody that can, you know, sort of, not that he needs rehabilitation, so to speak, but just someone that can help him sort of as he starts this chapter, you know, this new chapter of his career and guide him a little bit better.
I don't know if it's even necessarily that, as much as it's like, you know, expansion in terms of opportunity here, because I think it's there's probably just like a philosophical difference on what he wants from his agent versus what is currently being provided. I mean, that's typically what it comes down to. But I, you know, Ja is one of the most famous people in the world. You know, he is one of the most recognizable basketball players in the world. I can't imagine the type of sponsorship deals and partnerships that are coming across, you know, the desk every single day for whoever his agent may be. And an opportunity to expand those sort of those sort of things has obviously got to be pretty important to him. And all of that, of course, impacts his image and the way that people view him. And so he probably just wants the best person that he views representing him in that manner. Because, again, on the basketball court, he's a superstar at every level. And it was a shame that he lost out on a payday because he didn't make an All-NBA team as a result of, you know, the Instagram video. And I'm sure that hurts. And so now, yeah, there's got to be an effort to make sure that everybody understands who the real Ja is, not the kid that made the mistake, but somebody who's doing his best to fix it. And that's what he wants everyone to see. And so he probably just wants the best person out there to do that, and to also just handle the day-to-day grind of being an agent for a superstar of that level.
Drew, on another subject, what if I told you that the 2024 Chicago Bears would have in the receiving room DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and Washington receiver Romeo Odunze in the same receiving room? What kind of visions would that conjure up for you? They take him at number 9.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I mean, I think that I would be – it's either him or Dallas Turner. Like, those are the guys. Obviously, Dallas Turner is an Alabama guy, but I just think he's extremely talented and is going to be an awesome pass rusher. I think that that's the direction that the Bears need to go. I think if you had those three receivers in the same room with Caleb Williams, you're really setting that guy up for success. If you can't get it done, there's really no excuses there. And there's no excuses for Ryan Poles if Caleb Williams is not the guy in that situation. So I would be all on board for that, man. I think that would be awesome. I love the versatility of Odunze, I think is how you say it. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, that's it. Odunze.
I think, you know, watching a few of his games at Washington, like he'll be able to play anywhere on the field. So obviously that's very exciting. And then, you know, you've got a guy in Keenan Allen that's going to be able to do all the underneath stuff for you. So, man, you've got some real weapons
loaded
on that offense, if that is the case. You just hope Caleb Williams can put it where it's supposed to go.
I'm starting to think you or John can put it where it's supposed to go. With that, it's like Brock Purdy going up in there. What are we talking about
here? Josh's contract together. We're throwing the ball to Keenan Allen together.
We got DeAndre Swift, too. It's going to be easy for whoever you put in there, Jaden Daniels or Caleb Williams.
I mean, I think
this thing's getting crazy.
I'll be honest. I'm starting to it's gone a little too off the rails here, Drew. I mean, we can't go from 7 wins to 12. I guess maybe you could. But
I'm just scarred. I'm scarred, Jason. Like, I don't think I'll ever have faith until I see it. You know, seeing is believing for me with the Bears team.
That's not the way it works.
Drew, they're saying no number one quarterback has ever had a better situation.
Wow.
In terms
of. Well, that is true.
Yes. I mean, you got three running backs. Forget just DeAndre Swift. You know the deal. There's a possibility you got three number one receivers out there. You got two tight ends with Komet and Gerald Everett. What situation has been better? John and I discussed Luck when he had Reggie Wayne coming in there. But this is, if you get Rome, either way, if you don't, you got two number ones on each side in Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. I mean, this is a ready-made situation. Come in here and shine.
Would you trade a first round pick to get up to five to get Rome? Because I saw the Athletic's latest mock draft.
No. Hell, at that point, if you're going up, you may as well you take Malik or hell, maybe even take a stab at one of the other ones. I'm with you.
There's three good ones. So right. If you get
Malik
any of the
neighbors,
three,
right,
and you're then, feeling good.
Right, you're feeling good. So, I'm telling you, man, it's the dawn of a new era, Drew. I'm excited. You can feel it in my voice.
I'm
get
glad
excited.
You're excited. I like it. I
it's
like
different.
The enthusiasm.
It's
I need
different.
It. Yeah. I need it because I just I'm always like I think Mitch Trubisky was the one that broke me, man.
Scarred
like,
you the most.
Tough.
Yeah, I understand
it's
it.
Tough. Like the field experience was fun at times, but in the end, it was obvious it wasn't going to work out.
I get it.
But man, I don't know. I'm just I don't want Caleb Williams too, just because. Here's the thing. Like, he has a lot of haters, right? Caleb Williams has got a lot of haters.
Yeah, John's one.
And if he falls flat, it's going to be more painful because of that. Versus everybody loving Justin Fields, basically, from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It will motivate him.
Hey, real quick before you let you get out of here, Memphis basketball landed P.J. Haggerty from Tulsa. No, I mean, Drew covers college basketball. He was at the
– That man is an NBA writer.
Bro.
PJ is beneath him.
I mean this respectfully. He's got time to cover other things this year, right? He's not.
Bro, Jaren is hooping, and so is Gigi Jackson.
He is not.
Did you see Brandon Clark last night?
He's not immersed in game-to-game coverage.
Drew, I'm sorry. John's bringing you PJ Haggerty
news. Listen. I've been writing other stuff. I mean, if you've been paying attention, I did a Tigers column.
You went to Nashville.
AutoZone Park
sorry.
Column.
SEC.
Yeah. I went to Nashville. I think that this is a good start. For sure, for Penny Hardaway. What I like the most about it is that he's a player that has several years that he can play in the program, right? Like, that's important. That's definitely important for Penny. Can you bring him on campus and keep him? If that's the case, then I think that's a really good start. We talked about him having to find the balance. You know, it's going to be hard to do this year, frankly, because there has to be so much roster turnover. There's not guys that he can really bring back outside of David Jones at this point. So this is the type of guy that you need. You need to bring in, and then you need to keep him. And then 2-3 years down the line from now, he's still a good player for you. I think it's a good start for Penny.
Yeah, it certainly is that. Drew, appreciate the time.
Thank you,
as
brother.
Always, dude. Thanks.
Bear down.
Yep. Yeah, bear down.
He is Drew Hill, covers the Grizzlies and other things for the Daily Memphian.
I'm ready to start getting serious around here about the.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's
Bears.
Possible to go from.
This ain't some dream.
What'd y'all win? Look what the. Was it seven last year? They went from 3 to winning a playoff.
You saw the defense after the Montez Sweat trade. You could easily have a Texans-type situation. It wouldn't even be that, because the Texans were going from dog-ish, understand, to playoffs last year. Whereas with you, you're going from 7 wins to possible, 10? Could you add 3 more with Caleb Williams, maybe one of the best offenses in the league? Absolutely, you could. I'm telling you, we're going to make some Bears fans, some more Bears fans in Memphis this year. You want to jump on to something that's hot?
Right.
Maybe hot pink with Caleb Williams coming in the fold.
You're right. Yeah. I mean, it could be. It could happen. I mean, you could definitely have a transformation like that. It's happened in the NFL. It's tough in that division, though. You know, I mean, I guess Sam Darnold may not be.
I already gave you all the playoff teams for next year. 3 will come out of the North.
Yeah. So we'll touch on that. Lots more to come here on the show. Jeff Collins is going to join us at 1:25. Stick around. Jason and John, 99 FM, ESPN.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back. And so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.